You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of CROI 2009, the 16th Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections. The conference took place in Montreal, Canada, from February 8th through February 11th, 2009.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, Editorial Director of The Body Pro. Right now, I'm in the poster session where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who have actually conducted the research. It is these women and men who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. After their summary, I'll ask a few questions.
My name is Suzanne Whitmore. I'm an epidemiologist at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and I have an abstract here at the CROI conference. The title is The Estimated Number of HIV Births in the United States to HIV-Positive Women for 2006. This abstract is a summary of a manuscript that is currently in clearance. Basically, the methods are being used is that we use a number of statistical methods to calculate the number of total births in the United States, mainly due to the fact that in the United States we do not have universal exposure reporting, and therefore we need to use a number of statistical methods to derive the current calculation. The last calculation was done in 2002 by Dr. Fleming. It was presented at the International AIDS Conference, and so we used a very similar methodology to derive the number. Basically, we used a Poisson method to derive the number of HIV not AIDS cases and the number of AIDS cases from all 51 areas that we have information for. And the HIV not AIDS data is from 33 states with confidential name-based reporting that we have used for as of June 2007. Then we used other methods to derive the undiagnosed proportion, which has been previously documented by Irene Hall and Michael Campsmith in their MMWRs and their publications regarding incidence and prevalence estimates. And we used both a combination of diagnosed information and undiagnosed information to get the calculation of number of women living in the United States, or the prevalence number, in 2006. Then we used fertility information from the Adult Spectrum of Disease study, basically looking at a stratified by a number of factors such as race, ethnicity, age, and also clinical status, looking at clinical AIDS, immunologic AIDS, and HIV not AIDS to derive fertility information. We then calculated the fertility rate and then multiplied it by the number of women living with the disease by the different strata. Then at the end, we ended up summing those different numbers to get the total number of births in the United States for 2006. At this time, the numbers are approximately 8,650 to 8,900 HIV-exposed births in the United States in that year. And that
what year? I'm sorry.
2006. Uh-huh. And basically, which is using similar estimates, though not exact estimates, as Fleming's, is approximately a 30% increase since 2000. So basically, the number of women who are living with HIV has increased, and the number of births have increased in the United States over the past 6 years. So the take-home message is that, obviously, preventive and services need to be targeted at this group of growing number of women who are giving birth, and that we need better information on this, on the group of women that we're looking at, which means that at this point we have no universal HIV exposure reporting. And so since this is the only estimate that is out there that we can use to get at that number. So those are the two take-home messages. Universal exposure reporting is recommended by CSTE, CDC, as well as the American Academy of Pediatrics. And two is that since there's a greater number of women now delivering appropriate services, and more services need to be targeted to that group of women.
I thought you mentioned prevention, to prevent perinatal HIV transmission. Isn't there in every state a policy to ask a woman who's pregnant to get an HIV test and to do a lot of prevention in terms of asking about a C-section or asking about HIV treatment?
That's a very good point. We do not currently have universal HIV testing for women. It's not mandated by the U.S. government. It is a state-by-state law. Some states do have recommendations. Some states have actually universal newborn screening, such as New York and New Jersey, and they do test all newborns for HIV. But however, at this point, many states have opt-in treatment policies. And so not only are we recommending opt-out treatment, but also universal testing for all women during their pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. So I don't actually know, is it only New York and New Jersey that have the laws where they test every infant born in the state?
I also believe Illinois also has that as well. Mm-hmm. So there are only three states in the United States that currently test all infants. So every other state, there's approximately only 34 states that does HIV exposure reporting. So not even all the states do exposure reporting. And not only that, many of the states also don't systematically collect that information. So there's really no way of getting at a number without using these statistical methods at this time.
But isn't HIV testing recommended as guidelines for pregnant women across the United States?
CDC recommends that all women be tested during their pregnancy and if those at high risk in the third trimester of pregnancy as well. However, at this time, as I stated, despite the recommendations, many states do not have policies in place that would mandate or I would even say recommend this type of testing.
Uh-huh. So do you hope that this study will lead to some policy changes to sort of enforce the recommendations?
Well, I hope that people are aware that as the numbers increase among those who are giving birth, that obviously it's not about the number being infected, but it's the number of women who are being HIV infected and who are needed to be targeted for this, for testing and also appropriate ARV treatment during pregnancy so that we can decrease the number of transmissions.
Uh-huh. Do you have a breakdown by race?
We do. It's not in the poster, and I don't have it offhand, but we do have breakdowns by race, and that would be in the manuscript that's coming out.
Where is it going to be published?
At this point, it's in clearance, so we don't have a specific time or journal at this point.
Okay, great. Well, we'll look forward to it. This is really a good sign in a sense of the health of HIV-positive women, that the numbers are so big in terms of them giving birth, though.
Well, as I said, they're living healthier lives. There's the recent prevalence estimates show that there are more people living with HIV as treatment options are more affordable and also more available to them. So it's natural to realize that there are more women out there now who are living longer, living better lives, and also have reproductive technologies that are available to them. But as I said, largely that is an issue with finances. It's largely many of these women who are giving birth are those who are having many missed opportunities, who should be those that are being targeted for a lot of these testing interventions and ARV treatment.
I don't know, we don't have the poster right in front of us. So in terms of the women, were they diagnosed during pregnancy? Because I know that's a lot of women in America are diagnosed during pregnancy.
There's a number that have been diagnosed during pregnancy, but there are also a number of those who have been diagnosed prior to pregnancy, and some that actually have not been diagnosed until either late or after pregnancy. So we're looking at HIV-exposed infants, but many of them, as I said, hopefully are tested during pregnancy, but that is not always the case.
But would you say that many of the people in this population are poor women?
I would say that there are definitely racial disparities among the groups. We do not have income information, but we can say that there are definitely higher risk factors for those who are of women, African American, and Hispanic. The actual numbers will show in the manuscript that they are the ones that are at higher risk.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
Thank you for listening to this report from CROI 2009. For more coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/CROI2009.